I'm so excited to share with you that the doors are officially open for my first ever phone-free event that's happening in Los Angeles, California on February 28th at Mudwater Gather in Santa Monica, with the option for you to dive even deeper on March 1st. Now look, this event is about you. It's about you building connections and community and us all really bringing this analog revolution to life and reminding our hearts and souls what we truly crave most, what nourishes our being, which is co-regulating with other humans, having our mirror neurons dance together, sharing experiences together, but also learning together. So on top of all the community and connection possibilities for you, there's also an incredible lineup of speakers. I've got internationally renowned nervous system expert Sarah Baldwin, Nike master trainer Brandon Collingsworth talking about purpose and meaning, and Mandy Balak, who's the president of the Gathering Festival, which is one of the largest marketing and branding conferences in North America. So we're going to be diving deeper into what does the future look like to walk alongside technology and use technology as a tool. Now look, if you want to dive even deeper, there's limited space for a VIP dinner on the Saturday night. And if you want to go even deeper, if it's aligned for leaders, coaches, therapists, entrepreneurs, branding, marketing, whoever is called, there's a mastermind on the Sunday morning with even more limited seating. And that's going to be about what does the future look like to create in this world with technology. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you want to find out more and save your spot, go to markgroves.com/future. I can't wait to see you there.
When you understand this, like, people are actually paying more money to have less content. Less is actually more, because what you actually get is, like, in higher level programs, you don't just get more stuff. You actually just get streamlined stuff where it's like, here, just do this. And so what you're paying for when you're making big investments is actually time.
Hi, I'm Mark Groves. I'm a human connection specialist and founder of Create the Love. At an early point in my life, I became obsessed with understanding relationships, the intricacies of how people connect. And through this exploration, I have created a life and a business dedicated to learning out loud and exploring how we interact with each other and the world. This podcast brings the world's top thought leaders, spiritual luminaries, physicians, scientists, researchers, best-selling authors, and health and wellness experts under one roof to discuss the good, the bad, the messy, and of course, the beautiful parts of the human experience. Welcome to the Mark Groves Podcast. I can't wait to dive in with you. Mr. Dan Harrison, for those of you that haven't been introduced to my good friend here, he's the founder of Soulful Sales. He's an incredibly good friend of mine. He's a coach, mentor, all the things. Brother, I'm happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Philosopher of the human experience. We get into some great discussions. I'm excited to record one finally.
Yeah, we've had some journeys, I would say.
Yeah, that's true. Both in the psychedelic world and on the regular world.
True.
So this one's sober, everybody. We are not on mushrooms. Not yet.
That'd be an interesting one.
That actually would be very interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure I recommend it yet. We'll have to see how we feel and then venture into that world maybe next time. We'll break down some of life's most complex things, record it, then listen to see if it's worthy of being even considered.
Yes.
So you're the founder of Soulful Sales, you know, and that's obviously a company that really resonates with me, but maybe you can explain to people what you do and why you do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been an interesting, Soulful Sales is an interesting expression of a seemingly like lifelong journey of trying to reconcile two seemingly opposing pursuits, interests, which is, you know, the quest of understanding the hell is this life about, understanding my existential angst.
Yeah.
You know, trying to reconcile the nightmare dream I had when I was six and my whole family died. And like, just like, what is this life?
Wow. That's a scary dream as a kid.
It was. It's like one of those like pivotal dreams that somehow I can still remember. And has like shaped a lot of the questions that I ask in life, which has shaped a lot of my life as a result. But then secondly, it's like, well, if I'm living in this world, I'd like to, you know, make money, get rich, do it. If I'm going to live here, would like to have a lot of money. So just like
the ride is certainly easier with a few extra dollars in the pocket.
Right. You know, I've had both and would rather have money than not. And so, yeah, just like Soulful Sales seems to be an expression of those two pursuits and interests. And, you know, what it is we do now is just like helping, I'd say, like experts, health coaches, therapists, naturopaths build their business online and create meaningful, you know, deeply impactful transformational offers and selling those programs or services in a way that feels good. That is like where sales can be a spiritual practice because it's relational and it's relationships. And entrepreneurs are, you know, bringing ideas and creative and their purpose to life and serving people. And so to me, these things have like over time just become the same pursuit almost, like they've reconciled. And yeah, now it's like a true, like just an honor and a blessing to like serve the people that we serve. Like just I'm blown away by, like I'm learning stuff from our clients just every day that I'm super grateful to be learning about.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So many of the people in the pursuits that you're talking about, therapy, coaching, naturopathic, you know, medicine, any type of medicine, you know, generally they're not taught the business side of things. You know, they're not taught, how do you take this zone of genius and monetize it? And I think one of the most challenging things about being self-employed is that really every time you put something out into the world, your worth is it's such growth because you see that if an offer fails, you know, so to speak, let's, you know, as in doesn't generate any sales, it's often seen as I'm a failure, my ideas suck, as opposed to actually you're just being informed that that specific one is not for the customer that you're trying to sell it to. You know, and so there's so much personal growth in every aspect of relational. And just to add to your idea about sales, I was in sales my whole career life, other than a brief stint at a golf course in the maintenance department, recognizing that just not for me. And it started at like 5:30 in the morning. And there was no soul attached to my sales process at Future Shop. It was, how do I manipulate this person to get them to buy this thing and then make sure they get an extended warranty on the thing I just sold them as valuable and reliable, but just in case it's not, I'm also going to now sell you this extended warranty, even though it already has a warranty, and I'm going to convince you that this is a different. I mean, I think about it, my soul was vacant in the act of selling extended warranties, but it was in the pursuit of making more money.
Right.
Even if I'm not sure I believe that this person even needed the warranty, you know, it's crazy to think about now.
Yep. Yeah. Similarly, I was in finance, and in finance, you're essentially a salesperson. You're selling investments and you're selling insurance when you work inside of the institutions, more so than perhaps advising. And at the end of the day, there's just like the companies. And you start to see a shift, and there's definitely companies who do it well, but companies who are in this old kind of model or paradigm where it's profits over everything, that's what's wrong with the way that we've structured everything. And yeah, it just like comes down to core values and maybe like lack of awareness. I'm curious then to ask you, you know, what would you say has shifted for you, you know, being somebody who's selling these warranties? I'm primarily focused on making the money, right? You probably get a nice commission.
20% on every dollar from the extended warranty,
Right. So then to like now selling these courses and beautiful, you know, they're really like pieces of art in what you've created. And just, yeah, curious to hear from your journey, like how do you, and pharmaceuticals before that, and mostly just curious, like what has been your relationship with sales going from maybe manipulating to focused on the money to like what it is you're selling now? That seems like an interesting journey.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say the first part, and I'm curious to hear yours from finance to Soulful Sales. I mean, I did believe in the products I sold, like whatever TV it was. And that's not true. The very bad ones, the cheap ones, it was a hard time believing in those, but just because they weren't reliable. But as a pharma rep, I always sold stuff that was, I did at the time believe in. It was only one time when I sold a product. Listen, like a doctor wasn't going to switch from one product to another if it was inferior. That's not happening. But I did sell a product that really didn't offer any better. There was no benefit to switching. And I was definitely not embodied in the sale of that because, you know, it's like, eh, like you're actually making a pretty good decision already with what you're using. So I'm not sure you should switch. That's not a great sales strategy. But I just, you know, they'd like say, yeah, but it doesn't do this or it's not that. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, okay, I guess you're not going to buy that thing or prescribe that thing. To now, I mean, I really do believe in people, if they're feeling called, to be ushered through the process of whatever challenge they're having, which ultimately, like, my work has always been about, not about making your relationship last, but really you finding yourself. Like, you might find this work or this podcast through a relational desire, but inevitably you are just invited to find yourself, to discover more about yourself, empower mm-hmm. yourself, which empowers your relationships and empowers the world. So I guess, you know, one level that's definitely, I just feel good about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like it's just different, I guess, because I'm selling something that is correlated to my values, my purpose, and that was true based on the perception I had as a rep too, till it wasn't, till I had to not do that anymore, you know?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because it's like one is a belief that you had in what you're doing or what you're selling. But then it also sounds like, you know, to me, sales is really the art of helping people find the problem and find a solution to the problem. And and above all else, that's it. And if the solution isn't the right solution for the person, then don't buy it. And then it sounds like, yeah, just like in your own journey from like selling with pharmaceuticals, there's a belief in the product. But as you went into entrepreneurship, what's maybe grown more and I think is probably required is like a belief in yourself and a belief in like what you're doing, what you're offering, and like a confidence that you're producing something that is good. Mm-hmm. That like confidence. And I think that's what, you know, entrepreneurship really offers something beautiful and why, you know, I want to promote it, not just because it's a way that you can create more freedom in your life, but as a road, like you have to come up against your own stuff as an entrepreneur.
100%, yeah.
And so it's kind of like a fast track of like evolution and personal growth and you're like forced to learn. And you develop a faith. And this is kind of where, you know, if I was to bring in like this, like the soulful element of entrepreneurship, in a lot of ways, you're like creating something from nothing, which is such a beautiful mm-hmm. process, right? Of like literally bringing nothing more than an idea, intangible. I got this idea for whether it's a book or a course or a product or whatever. And you're like, you're going to turn it into something physical, tangible, that exists out in this world. That is such a beautiful process, a spiritual process, a creative process. And in doing that, at least for myself, like I can think about in my own journey, and you know, I left finance because I was in there for 15 years and in corporate finance and kind of like learned the system backwards and from the inside out and realizing like, wow, there's nothing really about this system that is serving the people that I want to serve. It really serves institutions and shareholders. But the everyday person, you know, for the most part, gets stuck in products and what it is like 40% of income is going to tax and another 30, 40% is going to banks and institutions. And then somehow thinking like we're really free. And so
the irony of that, isn't it? Wait, you're just buying your freedom. It's perfect.
Right. Yeah. So it was just like once I could kind of see from the inside, I was like, okay, I can't work in this. You know, when you know better, you do better. And so it was like, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do it my own way and built a fee only money coaching practice, really, what is what it was. And it was just to bring more transparency and truth and honesty and like not selling products, but actually just helping people with the behavior elements, like how we relate to money. And that was really like a cool process, but it really forced me to look at like what was working, what's not working. I had to get over just like fears of putting myself out there, being judged for what I was doing from, you know, all the friends that I had in the industry. And then part of that is like this development of faith that I think was something that I developed through this process and have been developing or cultivating, because there's literally this gap between what's in your head and having it exist out here in the real world. And there's this gap this gap of time, this gap of just like, you can see it, you know it as an entrepreneur, as a creator, but nobody else can for the most part. And there's this period of time that you're sitting in where you need faith that people and that the universe has kind of got your back and that people are coming to support you. And that once it gets developed, you're like, wow, there's no way, at least in my experience, there's no way I could have built what I built, known that that was the way it would have been developed or that that was how it would happen. And that it only exists as a result of so many contributions from so many different people and the iterations and the feedback and the development of this is like just a collaborative soup that ultimately ends up creating the thing that was just, you know, in my head. And through that process, yeah, there's just like a deep faith in something greater than my own perspective, than just myself. And I would love for more people to experience that, to like really, you know, to go for it. And it's scary as hell.
Yeah, it is. It is to take that leap. And I love how you said faith, because that's what gets cultivated when an idea about a thing becomes a thing. But in the time, you know, there's a gap. There's a space where you're not sure it's going to become, you're not sure. And then it's a thing. And that, I mean, that's a process. That's a spiritual journey in and of itself to know that, you know, I even think of the things we go through in our lives that drive what we're passionate about. Like, you don't know your challenges with money and wanting to understand it and all that stuff would lead you to also wanting there to be soul in which, of course, like what a concept to think that in the products we're creating, or especially because people, like I think maybe more now than ever, but that could just be my perception. People are taking what they're passionate about and they're taking, like a therapist might no longer work at a practice anymore, run their own operation, but now have an online presence and then decide that they don't want to necessarily see clients one-on-one or patients, whatever they might refer to them as, that they want to actually scale their knowledge.
Right.
You know, and build a course or whatever it might be, or even have a landing page for their practice that is about driving more people to book an appointment, whatever the desired behavior is. But like, I like what you said about sales, like when sales is embodied and like the product is embodied and integrated, then ultimately it is about selling, getting someone something they need that they're glad they found, you know, and like, when I sold an extended warranty, it wasn't necessarily, that wasn't the outcome, but it was with a lot of other things. But I think that does definitely change, like the intention. Most people who are creating, then like, I think one of the challenges of entrepreneurship can be, till you can afford to hire someone to do something, you're learning how to do it all yourself.
Totally.
But it doesn't have to be that way. Like, where you invest first can make a huge difference. And especially if you invest in the ability to convert your ideas, you know, which then liberates you to then have more space. But I think most creatives spend so much time doing all the other things that they're not in their zone of genius most of the time. And then it becomes a job again. And that's, of course, the challenge.
Right. Like, well, and there's this interesting, you know, process that kind of happens where, I like Robert Kiyosaki's framework, where I think it's cash flow quadrant, where he's talking about the different mindsets that someone might go through, where it's like there's employee mindset, And if you're an employee, there's like nothing wrong with it. It's just like you value different things. Right. You'd probably value like security and stability and certainty. And then self-employed typically values freedom and mostly like, yeah, their freedom. And then there's business owners and then there's investors. And each of these are like different mindsets that you kind of go through. And what happens is like on one side, you've got employees and you've got self-employed. And on the other side, you've got business owners and you have investors. And the biggest jump is that going from, because a lot of self-employed people, like one of the first gaps, if I think about the gap I jumped from working in corporate to self-employed, I basically just created a new job for myself where I was working more hours and making less money, but doing it my way. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of like create like a new, yeah, like you said, like a new job. And that jump though, from going from self-employed to business owner, is such an identity, like it requires something. It requires like an evolution to you becoming like a new version of yourself, right? And in doing that, that's where you're able to build a business because now you're building systems and you're building teams. And that's when you can sit in your zone of genius. And in the beginning, this is maybe just like my own thought, like in the beginning, sometimes you just got to eat some shit and do, build a, like you got to, you got to do the things that you don't necessarily love to do.
Yeah,
or it's not, I mean, you're not passionate about it, but it's like, it's the things that are going to actually get you clients, build a base so that you can.
Like you have to do.
You, like have to.
You know, there are things like, I do think the barriers to entry are much lower. You know, like someone will say, well, I need to get a video camera and a professional mic. It's like, no, you don't. You just need an iPhone. That's all you do. You can, and maybe a tripod, but a book works great to lean it against. You know, you have to always start before you're ready because you'll never be ready, especially for something you've never done because mm-hmm. you have no clue what ready even means, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like, well, how do you even know you're ready to film a video about something you're passionate about? And, you know, you're going to get it wrong many times. But, you know, like you have to provide customer service. You have to probably do your finances for the first little bit, mm-hmm. but still get an accountant, everybody. Still
definitely,
get an accountant.
Definitely do that.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, you do become like a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to for a bit.
Right. But then it's like once you do that, then you know, like you're a builder. And you can build stuff that other people can do for you. And at the end of the day, like in the beginning, you mentioned like cameras and mics. I get lots of setup is good. I've invested some money in cameras and mics and stuff. But none of this stuff really helps me make any more money. None of this stuff matters. What actually matters is really simple, is being of service to other humans with whatever you create. And so most people spend all this time marketing or even learning sales or building funnels or getting whatever. If I could go back in time or if I could like tell people like where to focus, it would literally just be on whatever your offer is. Like spend all of your time on creating something awesome that people would love, that you would love to like share with people, that you're proud of, because that you're confident about, that is probably going to be crappy the first iteration. But if you like stick with this process of like, I'm going to build something, you put it out there, you get feedback, people rip it apart, you change it, you take the feedback, you make it better, you keep doing that. And you do that for a year or 2 years or 3 years. Like over time, you end up with something amazing that you're proud of that wasn't just created by you, but rather like a whole community of people who gave you that feedback. And you have something that's like unique, it's yours. And that is when selling is easy. You're not trying to manipulate it into anybody buying the thing. You're like, hey, I got this thing. I think it's pretty cool. You want to check it out? Mm. And there's no manipulation in it. You're just literally just showing it to as many people as you can and finding ways to share your work with more people. Yeah. And I feel like so many people have got like the equation backwards where they'll spend maybe 20% on what it is they're doing and 80% on trying to just like the things that aren't necessarily going to move the needle.
You do kind of get a sense when people are just presenting what they're offering to the world from a sort of state of zero fucks, you know, yeah. But like lots of fucks about what they're offering, but zero about whether you like it or not.
Right.
Like in the sense that the right customer will like it and the not the right customer won't. And that's totally okay. It is operating not from a scarce perspective, but rather from a trust, faith, as you said earlier, a faith-based perspective. But you believe in it so much because you've spent the time actually saying, what would I pay this amount of money for? And then you're like, oh man, I'd pay for that. Like, I would love to do this. Yeah, I think it's such a different way of thinking because it also, I'm curious, especially if you're working with people in these professional avenues that come from paradigms or identities, you know, there's like an archetype to sort of like a therapist or a coach or a naturopath or a physician or like a medical general practitioner, right? Like there's all these paradigms of what it's supposed to look like. And I would imagine the challenge of carving out an offer might require you to totally shatter that identity because you're like, wait, we don't do things that way. I mean, there's certainly been a large pushback of this is what this is supposed to look like. This is what this is supposed to look like. And sometimes our offer looks nothing like that. And isn't that what makes it innovative or disruptive or whatever it is?
To give like a really clear, just like example of this is the misalignment in the way that people present what it is they're doing. So for example, most of the professionals are trading their time for money. So the clients are buying their time, but that's not actually what the client wants. The client actually wants like a particular outcome, a transformation to be healed. And so why is the offer, the thing that you're selling, not connected to the people that you're trying to serve, like the outcome that you're trying to create, but rather just around your time? It's like, it's actually just backwards. So whereas if you were to create something, and this is where there's an amazing opportunity right now, because there's an old broken model. And the only reason I got into this space is because, you know, my wife is a therapist and she was going through this whole journey of working with a clinic or working in private practice and navigating different contracts. And, you know, and then I was just looking at, wait, is this the normal way that people are doing things? Like, what? Like the clinic is taking 50% of your income? You're like a employee. And it's a good model as a, I guess, as a business owner or a clinic owner. But wow, there's something broken about this. And so that kind of started it, or getting an awareness about how these professions are kind of structured. And the way that we look at it is, well, what would happen if you, like you as an expert, if you took, if you started to focus your energy, you started to focus your expertise, you specialized in something and you didn't try to help everybody. You just tried to help people that you're most passionate about and with a problem that you can most certainly like help people resolve and heal. And instead of charging transactionally by trading your time for money, you charged based on the transformation that you were out to cause. And you mapped out what is the actual transformation that you want to help people create in their health or in their relationships. And you started to unpack your own genius and create a transformational process that most definitely would help them get better results faster, quicker, be a better experience, more enjoyable. And you started selling that instead of just your time. You start to see, it's like what happens is when practitioners start developing these types of offers is they get more commitment from their clients, they get more buy-in, the transformation happens, they're able to actually be profitable, they can grow their business, they can then afford to hire people to do the other things that they don't enjoy so they can sit in their zone of genius for more time. And it's like, and then that's how you have more meaning and profit and freedom in your business. But it starts with that understanding, like how to cause transformation and how to create a transformational offer and then connecting your prices to that.
Psychologically, that's got to be, I mean, I would just think that it would be a profound experience first I understand from a simple perspective that selling the transformation rather than my hour of time is a totally different one. Is like appeals to emotion,
right?
Unless there's scarcity presented in the time, it's just a presentation, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think of, why do people buy things? People buy things because of emotion. Mm-hmm. Why do people switch behaviors? Right. They switch because of emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what made me good at pharma sales was not that I had the best product knowledge, because I certainly didn't. I just needed to know, where did my product fit? But it would be relationship that would transform, you know, that would gain support, because people are loyal to people they like.
Yep.
Even just appealing to the transformation, as you said, it makes it more personal anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm curious why, because some of the data that I found very fascinating is, if people don't pay for things, they don't tend to value it. Like, that's just true from a consumer behavior. People might say, yeah, but people need free stuff. Sure. But the consumer behavior shows, without a doubt, if you pay for something, you're more likely to change it.
Yep.
Or do it, to actually do the thing. If you pay more for it,
like, it's a disservice to undercharge.
Yeah. See, I think that's a challenge for, that was one, as you know, because I worked with you. That's a challenge, because we don't want to leave people behind, or we don't want to be seen as, essentially, like, I wanted access to people like me when I didn't have, let's say, the resources to be able to afford something more significant. But I've paid 10 grand for a coach to be work for a weekend.
Right.
And I've paid $300, $500, $1,000 for a course, you know, and I certainly showed up 100% for the $10,000 weekend.
Right.
You know, like, you're there, you're immersed. What I saw that was like an investment in myself. Like, I was like, no, I'm taking this seriously, this transformation, this thing. And it was starting this business, so that makes sense.
Yep.
But it was like, I know if I spend $10,000, which is so much money to me.
Right.
If I spend this, then I'm leaping. Like, I'm already out of the plane.
Right.
And I'm in the air, because, like, that was something I'd never done before.
This is the really interesting thing about sales, especially when you're like a coach of some sort, or you're like in a service profession, because the sales process is actually maybe 50% of the work, right? Like, getting somebody to make the commitment to themselves is huge.
like that's it. That's the start of everything, is
right.
I'm committing to embarking on this change.
So, like, our sales process and, like, what we teach around this idea of, like, being able to coach the conversion, because it's like, it's just a coaching conversation usually. Because inevitably, it doesn't matter how much your program is or your offer is or your services are, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, it's like, no matter what, it's going to be expensive to the other person. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually the investment or the price is, it's always relative. So it's about understanding, like, well, what do you want to relate it to? So what is the cost of you not, you know, healing your gut? What is the cost of you not dealing with this chronic illness that is impacting every area of your life? What is the impact of not healing your, you know, the childhood wounds that are impacting your relationship? And if you really get present to, like, the work that these people are doing, and these experts and these coaches, and what they could be doing, and the real tangible impact that they're having in people's lives. And then you look at the pricing, or like, it's just, there's just this,
like, yeah, a, like, disconnect.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But we live in this amazing time. I mean, weird time, and also amazing time.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazingly weird.
It is.
There's some good and there's some challenge. There's opportunities for transformation, we'll call it.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
You can learn about anything now for free. Like, you could become, I think why people pay for courses, or let's say those, for example, is that someone else went and gathered all that information, learned about it, teaches in a way you like. Like, literally, you could go consume every single podcast I've ever done for free. You could find tons of videos for free. You could read all my writing. There's so much access for free to get anything. And I don't know about the creator model moving forward, whether free is going to be really, because I think what's happened is platforms like Facebook and Instagram specifically, but it will be more true of TikTok just as time goes on. Mm-hmm. But Facebook and Instagram have really turned people into vehicles of extraction for them. Mm-hmm. And I think creators are feeling this, that like, you know, the future is apps like ours, like mine, where it's about actually the creator being valued at the center. And if you value the creator at the center, then the end user, the user gets the value, right? Like,
totally.
It's such a, I just think the future of that type of, I think creators are whatever. And when I say creator, I mean like people who are teaching anything online.
Yeah.
They are feeling the weight of being a conduit for monetization for a giant machine that doesn't, and I say this truthfully, doesn't give a fuck about them. We'll switch the algorithm in a millisecond and kick your candy ass to the curb. I don't know where candy ass came from, but I think it's from a movie. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally.
So you have to create your own business, create your own value, create your own avenues to really embody and personalize your offers and what they are.
Well, the interesting thing too is like, this is another kind of backwards thing that I see all the time and that I did, but it's like, we'll tend to perceive the value that we're offering people in the, like in the content itself or in the information, but the information is free, like you're saying, like, and you give so much content away for free. And so people have access to that, like who can't necessarily afford it. Like you said, they could literally just spend that time consuming the content and learning what it is they need to learn. And what's kind of interesting is that when you understand this, like people are actually paying more money to have less content. Less is actually more, because what you actually get is, like in higher level programs, you don't just get more stuff. You actually just get streamlined stuff where it's like, here, just do this. And so what you're paying for when you're making big investments is actually time. That's what people are paying for. So the speed at which you can transform or get results is what you're typically paying for when you're paying premium, because that is our most valuable asset here. It's a finite asset is our time. And understanding that connection and why somebody is paying you a premium, it's because you're going to save them time in the outcome or the transformation or the result that they're looking to achieve, whether that's in health or relationships or money or business or whatever. It's like, that's really, I think, like when you're connected to it, that's what people are paying for as a premium. I look at your, you know, you're going, you've got a retreat coming up and it's like an immersion experience, right? People who purchase that offer versus like a course is going to get to experience like such a deeply profound experience that it can't not transform you. And so they're paying, like a course could never deliver that. And so what they're paying for is actually like the speed of that transformation and the speed.
That's cool. I never thought about it that way, but it makes a lot of sense, you know, to be immersed in it rather than, you know, reading it through a screen. Mm-hmm. There's all different access points and it's not like there's one better than another. They're just different avenues through which we want to consume and transform and all that stuff.
Right.
And, you know, what are the greatest challenges that you see somebody who's trying to make this transformation from, let's say, being an employee to entrepreneurship, but someone who's, let's say, moving from one of these sort of more structured professions to actually getting an offer set up and actually maybe really going all in on this business? Because it seems like people percolate on an idea for a significant amount of time. You know, I certainly did before I started writing, before I started coaching, before I started Instagram, before I, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the kind of words that pop up are things like insecurities, self-doubt. It tends to manifest with like a version of perfectionism. Like, I need to get it just right, or I need to do things perfectly. If you could embrace the fact that it will never be perfect, and if you can embrace a collaborative approach, like that you don't have to do it all, and that, and if you can embrace like a humility of like asking for help, and then like developing like courage, like real courage to be able to share your truth and share your work, you know, and so, because in a lot of ways, I think there's like, yeah, fear of rejection, fear of like, of it not looking the right way or doing it wrong. But if you can look at all of that, because that will probably happen, but great, because it's, there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually such a gift. And the more you can embrace that, the faster you can like move with that and iterate and learn and grow. And so I think like what holds people back, and it could be like lots of little things, but which is really interesting, because you start to get into, this is where like entrepreneurship is such a container for personal development and personal growth. And it's such a requirement to
one of the biggest,
to look at yourself. And so entrepreneurship is like, it's not for the faint of heart, because it's not easy. And you're basically putting yourself at issue. You're like, if I go into entrepreneurship, I know I'm going to have to look at myself. I'm going to discover things about myself that I didn't previously know. For example, one of my strong suits is like an ability to create money. It's a skill that I have learned, but actually that strong suit is a mechanism, a compensatory measure, because of a deep-seated wound actually. And it, you know, it has to do with dad leaving when I was six, like that whole story. I don't know who told like guys in the 80s that if you're leaving, you should tell your son, like, you're going to be the man of the house. Like, was that
when they're six? When they're six, and he's like, but I like school. I'm in grade one. You know,
right.
Like,
that's not my responsibility, dude.
Play. I just got off training wheels, and now I'm supposed to be the man of the house.
Right. Fuck. So, but there's like these unconscious, and I forgot about it, right? I'm like six, and I go about living my life and doing things.
Like, that wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. It was also around the same time I had that nightmare.
Or the dream. Yeah,
right?
The dream.
Where the family, all the family dies. And so, and then it's like these unconscious beliefs are just like buried and creating patterns and creating a, like a whole narrative of this idea of like trying to be the man of the house. And my six-year-old version of that is like the man of the house is somebody who can make money. And so it's like, well, I better spend some time learning this, like how do you make money? But if I never actually explored any deeper than that, then I would be stuck constantly just trying to make money. But entrepreneurship, again, it's just like these things or experiences will come up with whatever your patterns are, whatever your, you know, particular internal dynamics and stories and wounds and mixed match of, you know, your human experience. If you go into entrepreneurship and you take a self-reflective approach, then you're going to be able to like see things that you couldn't otherwise see. You're going to be able to heal things that you couldn't otherwise heal. And as you do that, you are able to like integrate, become whole, become confident in yourself. You're going to develop faith. You're going to develop a sense of self that is like good and confident. And so I think, to, you know, a long-winded answer to that question of like, what is it that blocks people? And it's like these things like self-doubt, insecurity, or like perfectionism, which is all just the invitation to go inwards and like do that internal work. Like, what is this trying to show me? Uh-huh. And sitting with that. And when you do that, you're just, it's such a gift. And through entrepreneurship, you can become, I think like at the end of it, you start to get a glimpse of who you really are, not the shell of your strong suits, not the, you know, expressions of your wounds or any trauma or any, but you like, but the real, like that spark, that part of you, yes, that is perfect, whole, complete, spiritual, cosmic. And from there, selling your program is like, it's just different. You're not.
Yeah. It's, to get there is part of it too. You know, it, mm-hmm. I think of entrepreneurship as being like the journey of the exposure of my soul, you know,
right.
Like,
yes.
Like, but in doing it, that's me embracing it and trusting it and like undoing the narratives and the beliefs that were handed to me that are not mine, but they get right in the way, even the fear of failure. Like what, yep, is, do we define failure as then, right, as opposed to expand, just like rejection. I got rejected. I used to be terrorizing to me.
Right.
But now it's like, oh, wait, that's just more information. That's just redirection. That's just the universe working it out, you know, saying, hey, actually, not over there. Go over here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then we pine over the not over there, not listening to the over here more, you know? And
right.
So I think of like soulful sales. It's like you're selling your soul, but you think of it like that's like the devil. You know, you sell your soul to the devil, but you're literally actually like embracing and selling from a place that is soul.
Yes, exactly.
Which is a different, everybody should, you know, regardless of whether you pursue that work through Dan or Dan's content, everyone should seek to embody that. Like to, it's amazing though, when you have abundance, how much your energetic shifts to being like, yeah, you know, like I know this person who does personal growth, who's like a billionaire. So like every offer that comes out is like, well, you know, and I used to be sort of envious or like resentful of that, as opposed to, well, just embrace that energy.
Right.
Like that's the energy that's like, I love what I'm doing. And it's amazing how that energetic shift really is contagious, because people feel it. They go, well, that's actually the energy I want to be around, is someone who's teaching me to embody wholeness and self-expression, saying like, regardless of whether you like what I'm saying, I like what I'm saying.
Right.
So that's actually all that matters, which is, poof, that's a huge learning.
It's like, if you can fall in love with the process of being an entrepreneur, as opposed to like needing it to produce a certain outcome, or make money, or like that. If you can do that, you win. Because then it doesn't matter how much money you make, or but like you're in love with the process. I feel like that's probably, if nothing else, when you step into entrepreneurship, if you can fall in love with the process and you can love it for long enough, that over time you'll figure it out and you'll end up with something beautiful that the world wants.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's about as dreamy as it gets. I think we should eat mushrooms next time and do this and see what we come up with.
Yes.
Brother, where can people find more of you?
Yeah. SoulfulSalesCompany.com is the website. The Dan Harrison on Instagram. And those two spots.
Perfect. All right, brother. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you sharing with all of us your process and your insights.
Thank you, amigo. That was fun.
If after listening to this episode, you're thinking, you know what? I could really work with Dan. I feel like he would be a great mentor to grow my business. Well, first off, I don't bring people on the podcast who I don't trust. And Dan is not only a good friend, but he's also been one of the best coaches I've ever worked with. So if you're like, yeah, Dan is the next step for me, then go to the link in the show notes and you can book a free 15-minute consultation. Make sure you say that Mark Grove sent you and he'll hook you up. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. If this episode resonated with you, one of the best ways to support the show is to go subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any more. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to it, or share the episode with your community on Instagram or whatever social place you like to hang out. This helps get it into more people's ears, and I'm so grateful for your support always. Thanks again for tuning in. Much love.